Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbaboot Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our keyboard warriors, check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional and across the deadly country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, the National Gallery of Victoria, Australia, reopening 23rd of November, thanks to COVID-19. The National Gallery of Victoria announcing today that it will be reopened, and the Ian Potter Centre, NGV, Australian, at Federation Square to the public on Monday, 23rd of November. Visitors will experience a premier retrospective exhibition, Mission Destiny, and that's showcasing the work of one of Australia's most respected artists, Destiny Deacon. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Miles Russell Cook, National Gallery of Victoria's Curator of Indigenous Art and Destiny Exhibition. On the line, Miles, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you're mob, where you're from.
So I live in Melbourne, so living on Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung country, but my family come from Whadjuk country in Western Victoria.
Beautiful. Look, great news. The NGV will be opening its doors thanks to COVID-19, and then we can also have the exhibition of Destiny. So first give us the heads up about the opening and how you mob are feeling with the opening, and let's talk about the exhibition with Destiny, please.
Oh, look, we're so excited. So the show was meant to open in March, but obviously it was shut down when we were shut down because of COVID. Mm. And then we were going to open again in June, but same thing happened a second time. So third time's a charm.
Yep.
And, you know, a couple of false starts, but we're ready. And it's a huge show. It's really exciting. We're really lucky that it's all there, ready to go. Yeah, when we open on the 23rd, we can finally welcome people in to see the amazing work of Destiny.
And tell us a bit about Destiny and the work that is being exhibition.
So, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know who Destiny is, Destiny, she descends from the Kuku Eremere people, so, you know, far north Queensland and in Torres Strait.
Mm.
And she's a contemporary artist, sort of a mixed media artist, works a lot with photography, but she also works in installation and sculpture, video, other media as well. And she's been living in Melbourne since coming here as a small baby, so we kind of claim her as one of our
claim
well.
Her. There you go. How your mom go? Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. But she's been working as a contemporary artist for 30 years.
Yes.
So the show has over 100 works, spanning, you know, I think the earliest work in the show is from 1987.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way through to work that was produced this year, a new commission. So it's over 30 years worth of work. Lots of different media and just an amazing celebration of somebody so interesting and with such an extraordinary international profile.
So just explain to our listeners there how it all works there. With the exhibition being on, is Destiny's work available for a purchase?
No, so this is, we're a state gallery, which means that we have a collection of our own. And then in addition to our collection, so all of our works by Destiny that we have acquired for the state collection will be on display, as well as a series of loans from the artists.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a big retrospective survey of her work, and it's a way to introduce people to her. But there is a great catalogue that's available for sale, so people who want to take home a bit of Destiny's work can acquire that.
Okay, fantastic. And that can open up doors regarding Destiny into a business entity as such, yes?
Yeah, totally. And look, Destiny's been represented by, well, it's an Oxford gallery in Sydney for a long time.
Okay.
And she's exhibited internationally. She's really, like, there's not a lot of artists who have
that on their resume.
As strong as hers, yes.
Yes.
A documenter and all sorts of things. So it's just, I think, you know, considering she's got such a big reputation overseas, internationally, it's kind of strange that in Melbourne, where she lives, there's not as many people would know who she is. So hopefully at the end of this show, she'll be much more of a household name to everybody.
They will know her after the exhibition. How long does the exhibition go for there, Miles?
The dates have constantly been changing. But
of course.
It's opening 23rd of November and it will be closing in February.
Okay.
So it's quite.
So when the borders open, fly down to Victoria, drop and see NGV and check out a Destiny Deacon exhibition.
Yes, please. Come visit us. We miss you all.
To Deadly Miles, thank you for the yarn, my brother. All the best to you and your Deadly team. Your family stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. A Deadly Yarn there. Miles Russell Cook is the National Gallery of Victoria's curator of Indigenous art and the Destiny exhibition. The Destiny is Destiny Deacon and originates from the Torres Straits. I've been down there for many years down south there, Melbourne, and the Melbourne mob have claimed her. So her exhibition is up and underway from the 23rd of November. NGV, that's the National Gallery of Victoria, Australia. So, yeah, when the borders open up, get on down there, check it out, and have a look at the beautiful artwork. Otherwise, go online. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. To Deadly Our Black Network, have your say, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
Waiting for someone I ain't never seen before to say he's a captain of men, but ain't believing our love. From the land of the white skin, he's self-righteous, a murder without license. With the spear, I'm the nicest, thinking that I might just wait till night hits. Then I move in silence, when the moon at its highest, and my soul is defiant. I'm consumed by desire to kill. Any white devil wanna test my will, then he finna get burnt by the fire I feel. Look him in the eye and hold his spirit still. He's hoping I don't catch him, but I know I will.
Stand on the shoreline, coming. Mother wanna cross mine, wanna take it from me. Fire in my eye, but we ain't running. Wanna murder, let's ride.
They came in peace, but our blood still stains the beach. Roll the dice, we gon' play for keeps. The sacred place ain't a place to preach.
No, no, no.
No white faith and a black belief.
No, no, no.
Better pray that our spears don't reach. He's cold, white, hot, I'ma make it bleed. Leading to the first fleet, sicker than disease that he bring from overseas. No matter where you flee, I will always be. In the darkest of night, your descendant will see me.
Standing on the shoreline,
come in, come in.
Mother wanna cross mine,
wanna take it from me.
Fire in my eye,
but we ain't running.
Wanna murder, let's ride.
Standing on the shoreline,
come in, come in.
Mother wanna cross mine,
wanna take it from me.
Fire in my eye.
You're hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trinity, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, personal stories of the last great clever man. Clever man, the life of Paddy Compass. Namabara offers a unique perspective on the life and making of Aboriginal Western Arnhem and Matakuru clever man, Paddy Compass Namabara. We're going to catch up a yarn now. We're going to talk to Ian White, anthropologist and archaeologist on the line. Ian, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Yep.
Thank you very much, Ian. Where are you based, Ian?
I'm in central Victoria.
Yep, thinking of you guys down there. It's a different world we're living in at the moment. Look, talking about the last great clever man, so tell us about the life of Paddy Compass Namabara, please.
Yes, well, he was greatly respected right throughout that Western Arnhem Land area. He was respected for his abilities to heal people who were sick. He knew that a person was sick without being told. He could see into their bodies. I was told that he had this ability that was like an X-ray machine.
Is that right?
He said, I was told, white fellas have got this machine, but this old man, he didn't need a machine. He could just
see through his eyes
and look into that person's body and see where that sickness was. And
so, Ian, he sounds like a medicine man.
And he had ability to see. To see into the future and to guide the community in response to his visions. He had this vision way back in the 1950s of there was four events. He's major events in the life of Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory, and he said that in the future there would be, people would get paid for their work, just like white fellas.
Yes.
And then after that, that they would own their own land, again, just like white fellas. And then they would be driving around in motor cars. And the old man who told me this story, he said, way back in the 1950s, that was astonishing to hear. But in the 1960s, he heard about the equal wages paid for work on cattle stations, and he thought, well, that old man, his first, that vision that he had, that's come true. And then soon after, in the Northern Territory, there was the Aboriginal Land Rights Act, and became owners, traditional owners of their own traditional land, and he saw that this was the second of those, that vision. And then soon after, when there was mining on Aboriginal land, people got paid royalties, and soon they were driving around in Toyotas, and he lived to see these three visions. And then finally there was a fourth aspect, and that was that there would be a division between family members over money. So that old man, he could see into the future and help the community.
Mm. A visionary.
Right along.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the one.
Yeah, visionary, but like, medicine man, and look, all the above. He had the power, and he led his people, and there was a conversation with the non-Indigenous Australians in regard to the superior race, so to speak. Yep.
Yes. There was a filmmaker, a Ballander, as they're called up there, white fella, and he met old man Namat Para on the beach. He was wanting to make a film called that name of the film escapes me for the moment.
But, sure.
He was so impressed with this old man.
Was it a film about him, Ian?
It was a film about one of the major sacred sites on that old man's country.
Okay.
And a long, long walkabout.
Okay, beautiful, yep.
Was the name of the film, BBC, ABC, I think. So he impressed both white fellas and black fellas, you know, on both sides.
Yes.
He achieved a great reputation.
So, Ian, you're an anthropologist, archaeologist. Now, you worked in the region up at Western Arnhem Land for many years,
yep.
Is how you come about with this story? Just yarning to mob and collecting stories, you could say, from the Dreamtime, yep?
That's right. I worked for the Northern Land Council for close on 25 years.
Yes.
And so I got to know the old people at the time, and they got to know me, and they trusted me with their stories. And I was so I'm grateful to them.
Yes.
For having, for giving me the trust to...
Well, exactly. It's an honour in itself, isn't it, to receive the trust from the people and to hold their stories and for them to share their stories with you. That's a very important position to be in.
Absolutely. Those old people have now mostly passed away, but their families have each given their permissions to, with pride, to tell the story and to... put it down for the future generations of their children.
Yes.
And that's what they talk about, is the future generations need to know these old stories.
So when you yarn about Paddy Compass and Namarabara, how did the story come about? Were you speaking to elders who told the story and talked of the so-called clever man?
Well, yes, the one old fella who told me that story about the vision that old man Compass had had in the 1950s, he didn't tell me much more than that, but he said, "Oh, you go and ask another old fella at another little community."
Yep.
So I went there, and this old man, great storyteller, he... first time I visited him, he sat me down for about 2 hours and just told me the stories of Paddy Compass Namat Para. And then just as I was leaving that little community, another fella who was visiting from another community, he called out and said, "Oh, you've got to go over to Gunbalanya." And
it was all meant to be, my brother, collecting the so-called jigsaw puzzle of the picture.
Absolutely, yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
beautiful. I notice a statement here from Blue Iriguru, what seems like one of the elders there. He reckons some people I know, they're clever, all right, but he'd been clever proper. This fella here, you're talking about the Paddy Compass Namabara.
Yes, yeah, well, old man Bluey, he told some very extraordinary stories,
yes,
about old man Compass, and stories that I still can't understand how these things happen. So
I know, but it just proves that you have witnessed the true storytelling belong to our elders, our ancestors, very strong.
Yes, absolutely, and they are, you know, they're beautiful storytellers.
Yes, they are. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Ian. All the best to you and your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Okay, look, thanks very much, Trevor. I appreciate it.
You take care, Ian. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Ian White, his name is, anthropologist and archaeologist who worked in Western Arnhem Land for many years and collected stories. And the story there he was talking about, this last great clever man and the life of Paddy Compass Namarbara, and offers a unique perspective on the life of the making of the Aboriginal Western Arnhem Land, who was a very Arnhem Land man who was very powerful in regard to visionary, medicine man, and storytelling, and led the way with his vision for his people. So look, fantastic, beautiful yarn. So you can check that out. Purchase the Clever Man. You can go to the IATSA shop, distributors or bookstores across Australia. Retail price at $39.95. So very good investment, and a good read. Too deadly. Have you say your mob yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly numbers 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Baldy on Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM Bummer Brit Media 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
get on your mouth. It's me, Bushtaka Bungee, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Rain forest is tall. The river tarrant rushes to my Cocoyology girl. I look into her deep brown eyes, says something I can't hide. The mountains that I climb, I find my sacred, sacred side. Come shine your lights, brighten up the world. Cocoyology, 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 Cocoyology girl.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your Deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Yinjin Bibani celebrate return of cultural heritage material. Fantastic news. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO, Michael Woodley, of Yinjin Bibani Aboriginal Corporation. On the line, Michael, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. I'm doing okay, thanks. And look, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, too deadly, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Michael.
Well, my mob is called the Yinjibani people, and we're from the north or the Pilbara region of Western Australia in the northwest.
Fantastic. Look, now we're talking about a beautiful story here. Yinjibani celebrate return of cultural heritage material. First of all, tell me how this all came about, and it's to me our spirits of our ancestors are working strong on the other side there, brother.
Well, it definitely is as well. I mean, you know, these artifacts that was returned to us. I mean, that would obviously be another part of the story as we kind of move forward in our interview today. But you know, what was amazing about it was they were also held in really good you know, really good condition. So
yes.
That's one thing. But you know, how we came about to being informed by it was the, you know, good people of IATSIS.
Big shout out IATSIS.
Exactly. You know, fantastic work what they're doing in that space.
Exactly.
In terms of the returning of artifacts back to the, you know, rightful people. And,
yeah.
You know, of the rightful country.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a call one day and said, look, they might have some artifacts that came from the Milstream area, and that was clear to us that, you know, that's the homeland of the Yinjibani people. So once we started to sort of get more into the information and that particular history, it became more and more clear to us that this particular gentleman by the name of Fred Spelling, who's a German-Swiss, came to Australia in 1910, applied for a job in Milstream as a gardener, and stayed there for 3 years. And then his journey, obviously, you know, from Germany or Switzerland, came, you know, docked at the Fremantle port in Perth, and then from there, you know, came on a ship from Perth to a place called Cossack in our region, and then horse and cart from Cossack to our town in Roebourne, and Roebourne to Milstream. And that's the only track that we can trace that he's obviously made contact with First Nation people.
Yes.
And staying in Milstream and working there for the next 3 years, that gave a clear indication that, you know, obviously these artifacts was obviously, you know, were given to him by the Yinjibani people. And what was confirmed to us then was when we saw those artifacts and we compared to the artifacts that we still have today from our people, the identity of those artifacts are the same. So that became a real confirmation then that...
Sure. Material that was turned, the artifacts returned. When you're looking at the artwork, that in itself is the signature, is it not, in regard to your people?
Oh, no, exactly. And again, that kind of gave, you know, gave the final confirmation
exactly
that these artifacts belonged to Egypt and they came from a Egyptian country, yeah.
Mm. And how it all came about, IATSIS got in touch with you guys talking about the artifacts, and that's why the conversation started rolling and research was done from your side and the connection was made, yes?
Well, exactly. Look, I mean, the process that IATSIS also run, you know, very professional as well.
Yes.
And also very respectful,
true.
To the people as well. And they're really serious about, you know, having these particular artifacts returned back to the people in rightful country. So, you know, a really big thanks to those guys. And we wouldn't have obviously had these artifacts if it wasn't for an organization like that.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And have you already received the artifacts as such?
Yeah, no, it's back home now. And,
they are,
you know,
yep.
Yep. And like I said, it fulfills a missing part always in our souls and in our spirit, and it gives as well another, you know, validation that, you know, that we haven't lost connection to our country.
No, that's right. And their existence is proven once again. In regards to celebration, and what did you all do in regard to celebrating the return of the artefacts?
Well, we didn't go overboard with anything, really. I mean, the old people wanted to just keep it lower key, you know.
Okay.
We obviously had our local radio station here called Narda Media come and film it, and
big shout out.
Put the story on. Yeah, you know, put the story on Facebook and stuff like that. But it was more of a low key.
We wanted to obviously
respect the spirits.
Yeah, beautiful.
By not getting too carried away with it all, but we wanted to feel a bit more, I think, comfortable with it first.
Mm.
But later on down the track, not to say that there'll be something done.
For sure, brother. And what we're talking about here is the artifacts and the spiritual side of it just coming home. That's what we're talking about, aren't we, brother?
Well, no, exactly. And look, and the other thing I think the elders also bear in mind as well, it's been taken away from our country and kept with this family for 115 years, right?
Yes.
So there's a slow process, I think, in making sure that, you know, we feel comfortable from a spiritual point of view, that we can fully sort of appreciate fully appreciate the artifacts, you know, being returned, and then obviously move towards then having a proper celebration.
No, that's beautiful. Look, a good news story. So thank you very much, Sharon Michael. And look, big shout out to your mob there. And fantastic. And our ancestors are smiling down at us. And we'll be in touch, my brother. You take care, eh?
Yeah, no, brother. Look, and thanks for the opportunity again.
Yeah, all the best, Michael. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Michael Woodley, his name is, and he's the CEO of the Yindabandi Aboriginal Corporation, and they're celebrating the return of cultural heritage material, artifacts that are returned home. And the return is their first repatriation from a private collector under the newly extended Return of Cultural Heritage, acronym ROC, initiative led by Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Studies, that's IATSIS, doing a fantastic job. And in July 2020, the Australian government announced a further $10 million to extend to ROC for another 4 years. So that's great news. And look, it's fitting, and it's money well spent, and it's about owing back and giving back to First Nation people of this country and what is taken away from them, from us all, to Deadly Mob. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
I've been feeling like a lone wolf, dancing in the street light, howling at the moon. When I hit a beat, not a guy, but boy, I'm okay, that's what a brother do. Spreading that mood, bro. Get me on the dance floor. We could have a dance off, do it all night. Feeling all juiced up, getting my groove on. Set it up super, we could take a flight. Aight?
I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell.
You could be my favorite.
In the mirror, what you really wanna see? Is the person looking back? Are you really on track? Are you really on the path to where you wanna be? Doing out a new only know me. I ain't in the coma, I really don't sleep. I ain't even tripping every minute that I'm living. I'ma kill it on the rhythm, we can keep it low key.
I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you.
You could be my favorite. You make me feel this type of way. You could be my favorite. Catch my vibe and fly away.
Monica, music, yeah, got me in my feels now. When it's playing real loud. Monica, music, yeah, got me in my feels now. When
feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you.
Hey folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
In the story, a group of people
pressure from society is strong. Every day, each passing day, our culture slowly dies. Like a piece of paper thrown onto a fire. Now all we've got is ancient weapons. Now is our only trade. Compared to all the immigrants, look how much we've made. You look down through your noses to see the black men groveling down at your feet. With weary eyes looking up at you, waiting for the message to get through. Now it's time for them to sleep, and it's not in a bed, but in some warm surroundings, in a park or in a shed. Warmed only by the grog that's been drunk through the day. Warmed only by the grog, the killer of his mates. The very first Australians around, the very first people to be down. And why we fight is to be recognized, only to be felt by your blind eyes. Yes, only to be felt by your blind eyes.
Yeah, Too Deadly mopping the dropouts. Big shout out, Brisbane Blacks. Hope you're well, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor and Mike here with your daily program, and we're coming up to the news here very soon. Murray going to sign off. I thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe, you mob. We are still in the pandemic. No vaccine, so abide by the rules, you mob. Too Deadly.